Despite cooler temperatures across the city and province, New Brunswick remains under an extreme wildfire risk. That risk prompted both the province and city of Fredericton to take unprecedented actions to reduce the chance of a wildfire damaging property or endangering people. These included closing access to Crown land, banning fires in all areas of the city, and the Fredericton Emergency Measures Organization moving to Activation Level 2. Dr. Anthony Taylor, a professor in the Faculty of Forestry and Environmental Management at the University of New Brunswick, explained why 2025 saw such extreme measures to prevent wildfires and what conditions lead to extreme wildfire risks.
What's driving it is the weather. Like, the weather this year is just really conducive to wildfire, which is unusual for this time of year in the Maritimes. Like, this is a wetter part of the country, so we don't typically associate, like, the Maritimes with wildfire, but it does, and it can happen. When it comes to whether there's going to be fire or not in the forest, there's two main things that need to happen. You need to have an environment that's conducive to burning, more or less that's dry fuel. So you need an environment that's conducive, and then the second thing you need is ignition. And fires typically are ignited through either human-caused ignition, whether that's intentional or not, or lightning. In this part of the world, in the Maritimes, actually more than 95% of the wildfires are human-caused. But what's changing, though, is that the weather that's conducive to wildfire, you know, when you get these dry spells with lack of precipitation and warm temperatures, that's changing. That's changing due to human-caused climate change.
Anthony was adamant that the risk of wildfires the province experienced this year was not a fluke and had real, concrete causes that can be addressed, although some of those causes are on a global scale.
What is our climate? You know, what we experience in terms of temperature and humidity and whatnot, it's all connected globally. As you and your listeners would likely know now, what's driving its greenhouse gas emissions. The government of Canada, Natural Resources Canada, they got a really good website that you can go to. Each year, they update and provide you data on, well, what is the total emissions from Canada? And they break it down by sector. So you can see, you know, how much is from transportation, how much is from energy use and production. And so Canada sits around 600 to 700 million tons of carbon dioxide per year. But the largest chunk of that, believe it or not, is from the production of gas and oil. Not the burning of gas and oil itself, but the production of it. And where that production primarily takes place, where do you think? Alberta, Alberta oil sands. Other than that, like things like the transportation sector make up a quarter of our greenhouse gas emissions. Transport trucks, you and I driving our vehicles, that sort of thing. So that's the single-handedly the biggest issue driving climate change, and that's what's driving the warming, and that's what's behind like the weather that you see this week.
Anthony's certainty is based on both data and the experience of Canadians across the country.
Fires naturally happen. Like, they're a natural occurrence in this part of the country, even, like, you know, before people started influencing the wood so much. There's been some really good science done over the past few years, especially since 2023. That's the worst fire year in Canadian history. But some good science coming out, they call it attribute science. So they're attributing things to what's causing the fire. And this attribute science really makes a strong case for what's driving this large fire season that we're seeing over the last few years. It's climate change, like 100%, with very great certainty. This year is an example of that here in New Brunswick. June and July were a couple degrees Celsius above normal. So it was warmer, like not super warm, but it was warmer than normal. They were also drier than normal, especially Nova Scotia, but like 25 to 50% below normal precipitation levels in June and July. So that's setting the stage already for drier conditions in the woods. But then the last part of July and the first 2 weeks of August have been extreme. Like in New Brunswick, last significant rainfall we had was mid-July. In the first 12 to 13 days of August, like no precipitation whatsoever. And then when you combine that with record-breaking heat, both Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday consecutively broke records all across the province. And they didn't just break them by like a little bit, like 0.5 degrees here and there. There were some places where they broke them by 10 to 12 degrees Celsius. I mean, it's massive. And that all coincides with projected climate change and gives people a little taste of what's to come.
Anthony's emphasis on weather-related causes coincides with statements made by Dwayne Killingbeck, the chief of the Fredericton Fire Department, when he described factors that would reduce the risk of a wildfire in the city.
I appreciate that it's going to take more than a shower or a couple of hours of rain. It's more of a longer soaking rain that's going to see a significant positive effect on our fire index. As I said, I'm not the expert on that, but realistically, we're looking at a day or two of constant rain. We don't, like, flash floods don't particularly help because it doesn't give an opportunity for the water to soak into the ground. Ongoing soaking rain is the ideal.
However, weather only plays one part in the factors contributing to a fire. As Anthony mentioned, a fire needs dry, flammable fuel ready for ignition. The weather dries out that fuel, but Anthony elaborated on how it gets there in the first place.
Not all trees burn equally. Like your hardwood species with the big broad leaves that fall in the fall, they tend to be less flammable than conifers, like fir and spruce and pine and that sort of thing. So composition of the forest does make a difference in terms of how it burns. When you clear cut, there is a linkage between the two things. And so if you clear cut an area, it doesn't always come back to conifers. Oftentimes it'll come back into a mixed forest, or even earlier on, it could be mostly hardwoods that come back. I'd say New Brunswick clear cutting still makes up 70 to 80% of all harvests. But then out of all that harvesting that's done by clear cutting, a third to a half is probably planted. I don't think it's any more than that. I'd have to check the data on that one again. And when it's planted, it's almost predominantly planted with spruce trees. So it's not the act of clear cutting itself that's bad or that causes fire. But if you clear cut and then plant with spruce, which is a common practice across Canada, but here in the Maritimes, then that can contribute to greater fire on the landscape. Just simply for the fact that the more you clear cut and plant spruce trees, the more you're creating a landscape full of more flammable trees. There's not a lot of things you can do management-wise to prevent fire, but one of them you could do is to ensure that you have more diversity of tree species in the landscape.
Anthony finished by asserting once again that the fire scare in Fredericton this year was not a fluke.
This is just a taste of the sorts of things that are going to happen. This is not fictitious. This is really occurring. You know, someone who studies it for a living and works with people, bright people who study this for a living, you can see it clearly changing. And there's some very bright minds out there in the world who've projected how it's going to change. And no matter what we do now, still some warming to come kind of thing. And so unless we as a society really begin to think about how important it is to address this and how these types of disturbances are going to cause us more inconvenience in the long term than the short term inconvenience of driving less and that sort of thing, you know, that's the sort of thing that I think society really has to take to heart.
I'm Aidan Keenan for CHSR 97.9 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.